morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Slackers on 101.5 UMFM.
It's a radio station.
It sure is, Alice. And what do we talk about on this particular show on this radio station?
Sometimes video games.
Usually video games.
Sometimes.
On occasion we play video games, we follow video game news, weird video game trivia now and again. And that's exactly what I did on this weekend, is play video games.
Yep.
So, I don't have enough to report on it to actually give you a proper review on it, but I did start Dead by Daylight.
And by I don't believe start is a good word, because you haven't even played a real match. So, but I don't think that counts.
So, that is an ongoing project.
And by start, Megan means she's done maybe part of the tutorial.
I finished the tutorial.
Okay. Have you played a real battle?
No, because I got scared.
I'm going to say that no. You haven't played the game yet. You looked at it.
I gave it a sideways glance and said, show me what you've got. And it showed me a small array of what it had. And then I was like, you know who would probably... I should probably get an audience in on this.
Yeah, I don't know if I... Like, to be honest, I'm not really interested in playing that game for the pure fact that, like, you have to play with... other people have to have the system for you to play it, which is fine, but it's just sort of like, I want to play... Like, even to have a two-player would be fun, but, you know.
Yeah, have someone be the murderer and someone be the murderee.
Yeah, because Megan, but what is Dead by Daylight? You didn't really explain it, did you?
I did not.
Yeah.
So the whole premise of this game is you should have at least four horror survivors. Four people who are trying to run
basically
away.
Basically what it is.
Four people trying to escape a murderer. Now, the twist here is that somebody actually gets to be the murderer and go after them. It's sort of like a big old Freddy or Jason scenario, trying to hunt down those pesky teens. And...
Yeah, well, they did the exact same. They made a Friday the 13th game like this. That was basically Dead by Daylight, except you're Jason.
Yeah, and did it have the competitive part to it?
Yes, where it's online, yeah.
Well, then why am I playing this game where I could just be Jason?
I don't know. That's a good point.
Anyway, you do get to play online. You do have a PvP. You do have...
Play with your friends. But I think the thing is that most people either want to be... Like, I've watched people play this game. Like, I've watched quite a bit of it. And it's mostly you have your four people who are your survivors, and they need to do something to escape the area from the big bad, which is... He's like your regular a horror character, like, and there's a variety of them, and they do have different play styles.
Yeah,
but
different skills. And the cool thing I found about this in the brief time that I went through the tutorial is that there's skill checks.
Yes.
So you actually have some quick time stuff.
Okay.
That you have to
do. All right. I find it's sort of, it's a very whatever. Like, I've seen these skill checks in action, and they're very okay. It's press a button.
Yep.
Like, and I guess it makes sense, but I feel that's a little bit, there's better ways to do it, I think. There are skill checks that it's like if you're trying to, like, say, turn on a motor or something to set up the lights, or I think there's, it's like in one of the situations you have to, like, turn on, like, five different generators that'll open a magic door to escape. In the meantime, you know, you are trying to avoid the bad guy, because I think he just puts you on a hook.
Yep.
And then you can either, which is what obviously what you're supposed to do is you're either supposed to, you know, like booby trap where you've got a person, or wait while somebody tries to save them. But yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, once you get killed, you know, you go up into this, a giant spidery claw hand comes and grabs you down from the sky,
so
and plucks you.
It looks like it'd be a great game to play with other people.
Yes.
Right now, the benefit to it is that it is free on the PlayStation Plus accounts.
Yeah, so which once again, I think you have to have, like, you would have to have the internet to play this game, because it's primarily an online thing, which is fine, but
it
you
is
know.
Free this month with that subscription. And I just renewed mine, so we get another full 12 months of some free games, guys. So that was pretty good. So after I checked this out, I realized I desperately wanted to play a game.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to go back to an older game. So I went and put back in my Persona 5
okay.
that I got so far into. And
I love when you say older because that's literally a year old. It's not an older game.
It's not an old... Okay, it's a this year game, but it's a game we've talked about previously.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm just by older. It's not older. It is PlayStation 4.
Okay, technically the older game I did want to play is Persona 3.
Mm-hmm. Which you could.
I could do, but I wanted to still play Persona 5, so I went and got the Persona 3 costumes.
Did you buy it?
A little bit, yes.
Oh, a little bit. Yes, you spend money on DLC costumes.
I don't spend money on DLC very often, but this is how much I love this series.
Yeah, well, I think it's fun. Like, Persona is not... It's not bad. No. It's fun. I played the fourth one. I played the third one. Like, hey, I'll play the fifth one. I'm just busy right now and not that. That game is like a good 80 hours.
It is, which is why I feel like I should not talk about it yet, but I will a little bit, because also over the course of this weekend, after I finally put down the controller and relinquished some power to you so you can play some Katamari, I discovered that they're actually coming out with Persona Q 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have Persona Q, and I got pretty far into it. It's
love
a very
that you have not even beat it.
No, because I get so... The thing I don't like about this game is the map making aspect.
Here's the thing. I've never played Persona Q. That's it. Like I've played 3 on the PSP, which is a big deal apparently, and I've played a lot of 4. But that's about it. And I've watched most of 5. I know what happens. I've been there, done that.
So the whole draw to Q, the first Persona Q game, was that it was based also heavily on Etrian Odyssey, which has that huge map-making aspect to it, and then monster fighting, the turn-based RPG monster fighting. It's after several hours of map-making, and I kept messing myself up, and these are also difficult games, too.
Yeah, well...
You can change the difficulty on them.
Why not, Megan?
Why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Because I like to hurt myself.
Sure,
on
but I'm
games.
Just saying, you're the one who put the mods on Fallout 4.
Fallout 4 is different. I just wanted my dog to stop.
Okay.
Perishing.
Okay, I'm just saying, I feel those are very similar things where you could have just put yourself on the easy mode and been like, "Ah, map making is a breeze. I just put a stamp down and here we go."
Anyway.
Yep.
It's
bragging on Megan.
A little bit.
It's fun.
It is an incredibly cute game.
Megan, finish your games.
Someday I will.
Someday. Just
someday
get like 40 TVs hooked up.
Pretty much.
And we'll just alternate between.
I've threatened this multiple times now to bring out my TV so that we can have multiple TVs
and
going.
Just get all the monitors out and hook up all the systems. Well, and you know, just sort of slowly check off every game.
It'll be a continuous LAN party all the time.
All the time. We always have to beat a game all the time.
Yeah. So
Megan got to beat a game.
Anyway.
Megan's going to beat a game.
Someday.
Oh.
Everything's open world now and they're non-finishable.
Yeah.
I hate it.
You can't get to the end and you're like, oh, but what about the DLC? Oh, but what about the DLC that's coming out next year? Well, what about the other character that's coming out next year? Yeah.
See, this is why we're not getting the Breath of the Wild DLC, is because I can't even finish the basic game.
I feel like once I've beat it again, then we can get it, because I know there's going to be some good old Zelda time. But yeah, I agree with you. I beat that game and I was like, oh, do I want to get the DLC? I spent so many hours here.
Yeah.
I'll do it eventually. The other thing is I would love to finish the DLC or do the DLC for Horizon Zero Dawn, because I honestly enjoyed that game.
That's another game that I want to put back in and just
pop it in. We stole it from Jesse. Thanks, Jesse.
Thanks, Jesse. Yeah. So, Persona Q.
Coming out. Q2.
The whole draw to them is that they're big old crossovers, guys.
Yeah, and I could totally see that because there was that fighting game that just came out with, like, it had Ruby characters.
Yeah.
And it had Persona 4 characters. So, yes, people love a good old-fashioned crossover.
They really,
not
really
me.
Do.
I'm not a big fan, to be honest.
Well, I'm really excited because I like all three...
Of the Personas that are in the Personas.
Three, yeah, the main three, the most popular
Persona.
North America.
Which Persona? It's just there's so many now.
So they have 3, 4, and 5, but they also brought back the female main character of the P3P, Persona 3 Portable,
yes.
Which is the one that's the big deal you're mentioning because
yes.
This was the one where you got to choose whether you could be a male main character or a female main character.
It was great.
And you, depending on who you chose, your options for socializing changed.
Yeah.
So you could actually seduce the dudes if you're the female
for
character.
Once. That's
once.
You know what, Persona, just give us what we want, which is to romance everybody, okay? To be honest, like just let it be an option. Like in Fallout, you don't have to do it, but you can if you want. Okay?
Exactly. Yes. Someday we will get there, but for now, we have the female main character who is very cute and she's been pushed into this world where there's crossovers of 3.5 games.
Yeah. I'm very whatever about these. I like the style that it looks like. I don't care for crossovers. It looks cute. I do like Persona, but maybe I'm just not really a big fan of the bajillion Persona weird crossovers because they are like extra games because they never seem like normal, I want to say. Like they're not like a Chie's adventure. It's dancing. Or
yeah.
It's fighting.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bunch of dancing, which is fine, once again.
For those who are wondering, Chie is a character from Persona 4 who is very into fighting and
not dancing.
Eating steak.
Yeah. It's just whatever. It is very Super Smash Brothers-y, and that's maybe the only crossover I can really handle, but only because it's been for so long. Okay, and because I brought it up. Let's make a segue. Let's stop talking about Persona. Thanks, Persona.
Thanks, Persona.
We love you. We'll see you when Persona 6 comes out in 10 years.
Or when I finally finish Persona 5 and get Persona Q2.
6.
Anyway, so Smash Brothers has announced 2 more characters in their lineup.
3.
Who's the third?
There's 2 Simon. There's 2 Belmonts.
Simon Belmont and...
Richter?
Okay, cool. 3.
And, yeah, I was like, you're missing a Belmont. There's so many people who love that Castlevania.
I'm so
games
sorry.
That I've played none of.
I have some of them, and they are very difficult.
Yeah, no, don't worry. I've looked at them, and I'm like,
I just know Simon looks like a weird barbarian with some very short furry pants.
I do enjoy the fact that people really love Castlevania, though. Like, it's an interesting series. Like, we started watching, there's an anime on Netflix we started watching.
Yeah.
So that's like, I'm going to say that's probably my primary knowledge, which we haven't even watched all of it. So it's not
yet.
Great. I know there's Simon. I know there's Dracula. I know there's Alucard. I know there's a bunch of Belmonts. And they fight against Dracula. That's about it. And then at one point you get to be Dracula? Or you get to be Alucard in some game. There's like a bajillion Castlevanias at this point.
There's so many. But the most important character that they've introduced...
Yeah. Who cares about Castlevania?
Who cares about Castlevania? They've introduced King K. Rool.
As
a Smash character. You get to fight with King K. Rool.
Which is pretty big.
And the funny thing is that his intro video is not constrained to one game. We've got Donkey Kong Country. We've got Donkey Kong 64. We've got Donkey Kong Country 2.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. And he gets to be Captain K. Rool. I saw the costume.
Yeah, he has a little cannon. It's cute, especially one of my favorite things is that the guy who made K. Rool was lamented about the fact that he didn't give him a cooler name before he got into Smash. I know K. Rool's not bad.
Yeah, K. Rool is not that bad of a name. Calm down. It's good.
It's okay. I was like, the other guy's name is Donkey, so I'm not going to judge the bad guy's name on account of this guy is a gorilla and his name is Donkey. Just going to put that out there.
Gorilla Kong.
But I would like to point this out that even though Nintendo has done this very nice thing, they did a very not nice thing, which was they got rid of Emulator Paradise.
Now, before we continue on with this, we're not supposed to condone the downloading of games. This is something that you should not be doing.
Don't pirate.
Don't pirate.
Yeah. Well, here's... Yeah. Don't do it. I'm winking. But don't do it. Like, if you can pay, if you can support the person, it's great. I'll leave it there. You can pay. That's great.
If you can do that, that's great. However, they shut down, or they willingly shut down Emu Paradise. The people who run Emu Paradise, a big emulator.
Yeah, I was like, and now we're saying Emu. Emu. It's short for emulators.
Yeah.
And sort of to put this in perspective, there is about 400 SNES games, say, around, give or take, I'll say. And currently, only about 70 of those are available on the Wii U. None are, and they got rid of the Wii.
Yeah.
So there was about maybe another 30 to 40 games. So, and now basically, once the Wii U's system, like once we get rid of the Wii U store, once we get Switch 2.0, you know, we probably won't have those games either. I'm sure they will move some to the Switch, but that's about like almost 300 games that we're losing. Like you can't play those anymore unless you want to buy the things, which is maybe like, you know, anywhere from $20 to $300.
Now, the idea with ROMs and emulators was that it made these games accessible to people who could not otherwise play them.
Yeah.
One, a lot of them hadn't been localized.
Yeah.
Two, a lot of them hadn't been translated or translated very poorly when they were localized. And three, a lot of them became incredibly hard to find. And
yeah, well, like,
as hard to find means also very hard to pay for.
Yeah, like lots of, I would say there's lots of Nintendo and Super Nintendo games that are well in like $300+ just for a cartridge. And then you also have to have a working system, right?
Yeah.
And they're not the most expensive, but it's still a matter of having these items, right? And if you don't have them, nobody has them, right?
So we can't always rely on the legal purchasing of the internet.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, here's why this is bad, is because that's like a lot. That's a huge amount of video game history gone. Like, and it's interesting that Nintendo doesn't really, for them, they probably have catalogs and stuff. But for the rest of the world, we don't really have, like, a historical database set up for our video games or anything like that, which at this point, yeah, we probably should. Like, digital media archiving is a thing, and it's important. Like, I wanna learn about those. Like, it's important. It's history, right?
Yeah,
you want to learn where stuff came from.
There
right?
are so many games, like very early video games and systems that are lost because they have not been cataloged. They have not been preserved. A lot of them are crumbling because, again, the idea that these games were disposable, they just were not protected the way they should be. It's a lot like a lot of the early television shows or movies where they were just tossed aside or scavenged for other materials.
Well,
for
example, so Evangelion, Neon Genesis Evangelion, which is an anime, you can't get it legally anymore. Unless for about $700 for like a DVD set. So it's sort of that's sort of the situation we're in as well, right? You something that sort of has really historical value and nobody can see it anymore, right?
May the first years of Doctor Who, to put it, you can't find them anymore. The episodes have been lost because they've been burned, destroyed, or recorded over.
Yeah, or just like nobody was like, we should make a copy of this for later. We might need it down the line.
So this is, although legally it's very gray, darker gray than.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. It's I like, here's the thing. Pirating is a thing that happens, and in this case it can be used for good. Like pirating or having emulators and ROMs to preserve video games that we can no longer get or no longer find, I think is a great way to have things, right? To have history. Like, what do we have museums for? So we can see old stuff that we couldn't ever see. You know, we couldn't, I couldn't own the Mona Lisa. I could never own it. That's ridiculous, right?
But you can download a picture.
Yeah, well, it's just like I can see it now. Like, yeah. I have the ability to be able to see it because people are like, ah, yeah, this is pretty important. We should let people look at it.
This is, it is such a shame, especially for a video game and history nerd like myself who likes the preservation of things like this. It's quite sad.
I would say one thing that I could hope is that I doubt it, but hopefully Nintendo puts a whole lot of the old games on the Switch, which, you know,
and we're willing to work with you, Nintendo. At least do this. Well, don't hoard it.
People are definitely willing to buy Mario again for the Switch. Like,
oh,
don't,
goodness, yeah.
Don't doubt it. Like, I bought it for the Wii. So, like, and then my Wii got electrocuted, so now it's gone. It's bye. But I did buy it. I own it. But I bought it again because I was like, I want to play it on this.
And I rebought the first two Sonic games because they were released onto the DS.
Yeah.
And I already have them, but I'd play them again, and I would support that.
Convenience, right? It's just there's a bunch of reasons why, and especially like, so let's do this more segue, because so let's segue into the Switch. I just want to talk about one game that's coming out quick. Just a little shout out. There's a new game called Gris coming out, and that I've sort of been following the development of, and it finally is a date. Well, maybe not a date, but it'll be coming out for December of this year for the Switch and PC, which is really exciting. And it's one that I've been looking at. I would say, like, it's my kind of game because it's, like, atmospheric and artsy and,
well,
like,
French Gris, isn't that gray?
Yes, is it?
Gray?
Gris, yeah. I always thought it was like the gris, like there's some kind of fairy tale about some gris. I have no idea. Like, it looks really cool. I would highly check out the trailer for it. Just give it a look-see. But it looks wonderful. I'm really excited for it, and that's definitely one I want to get. But yeah, moving on to Switch, because I actually played a game other than Fallout 4.
You finally broke away from the curse that is Fallout.
Yeah, I haven't played it for like a week, but...
I was going to play more Fallout than I thought myself.
I'm like, you're like, I'll just play another ridiculously long game instead.
This game has an ending.
All games have endings, Megan, somewhat.
Yeah, Fallout 4 is when you put the controller down and realize you need,
like,
more to life.
Or when you get to level 200 and whatever. Once you get all of the little thingies you can do, that's how you know. Yeah. But yeah, so I started playing Octopath Traveler, the demo version specifically, because I don't want to pay for it yet, but it's very fun. It's basically a new JRPG straight out of the people who did Bravely Default for the 3DS, which I never played, but I like the art style for it, so that's
it is very endearing.
Yeah, and so now Octopath Traveler is pretty cool because they have very purposely made it a pixel game that looks very, it's similar to like Resident Evil, jeez. Yeah, it's a Resident Evil game. No, it's very similar to Final Fantasy VI in terms of its style and in terms of your character designs. And basically you have, as the name states, you have 8 Octo Travelers, basically.
When I first heard the name, I always assumed there was going to be like an octopus element to it, and that would have been pretty cute.
Yeah, I always thought that, like, definitely the title didn't make me go, oh yeah, this is the guy, the Bravely Default guy. But so you have your 8 characters, and they all have different classes. They all have a different thing they can do, which is kind of a neat thing. So the main character that I started off with was Primrose, who is a dancer, And you also, every character, you get a fun little backstory. It's like 10 years later, something happens.
Oh, no.
And now they're, so Primrose's dad died or was killed in front of her kind of by these crow assassins. They're not actually crows, but they have the marks. Crow-sassins. And they have the mark of the crow. So she's going to, she's like, that's, I'm going to get them. And she's basically has grown up to be a dancer, and that's, and her skill is allure. So basically you can basically ask somebody to be in your team and take them with you and then summon them in battle. So it's a, like almost anybody, like randos off the street, you can try to do this too.
You, random small child, fight this monster for me.
That's funny because there was a child, but the mom came with me and I was like, this is a bad idea. This is a bad idea. You're leaving your child here to come fight monsters with me. Is this a bad idea? It's fine.
I'm sorry, small child, but you're now an orphan because I accidentally lured your mother away.
I asked her to come help me beat things up. But sort of, I do like how this is presented. You have your main character, your one character that you choose. Who I've chosen is Primrose. I've heard that you sort of stick with the first character you've chosen. So I made a very, well, somewhat, you will have to stick with them. So I was like, you. The backgrounds are gorgeous. Here's the things I like about it. Backgrounds are gorgeous. The scenery is gorgeous. It looks amazing. It almost looks realistic in some parts. It reminds me of dioramas, which I really like.
That, like, sort of false depth.
Yeah. But it works so well. Like, it's kind of interesting how, like, the characters are very, I'll say, very okay. Like, their sprites are very okay. We don't get a lot of emotion from them, they're just our little characters. But we do get a lot of dialogue. It's all voiced, mostly. There are things that I think are probably going to annoy me about it, but at this point, I'm enjoying it. I have three characters so far, which are, I forget his name, but he's the knight.
Knight McKnighterson.
His name starts with an O or an E, and I can't remember.
Knight McKnighterson.
And then there's Tressa, who is a merchant. And she's kind of neat because she will pick up leftover money that people have left behind or something, and so she'll just be like, it'll just be like, Tressa found $30 that somebody left, like somebody forgot, which is, I'm like, awesome. And the other, the night guy, he can challenge people. So that's his sort of little special. So if somebody, like a rando, you want to fight me? He's like, yeah, done.
Okay.
Yeah, that's his. I like these little extra abilities because I did find one in, say, where Primrose is from. And it's basically like you have to fight a guy. And I was like, Primrose doesn't fight. She seduces people. So I finally found, and then when I found the night guy, I was like, oh! So there's obviously like a large amount of backtracking you will have to do with different characters. I already know that there's chests I can't open without certain characters.
Ooh.
But yeah, I know. I've only put about a little less than 3 hours into this because that's about the demo. Like, you get 3 hours of demo time on the Switch, which is great. Like, some parts are blocked off, but I would say most of it's like, you are way too low a level to even go here, so why would you bother? I would bother because I like exploring, but that's fine.
Well, we're going to get it someday.
Yeah, you know what? It's fun. You should try out the demo, play a character, see how you like it. It looks good. It feels good. It has a cool battle system. I like it.
Yeah. Well,
it's not a bad little RPG. RPG.
There you go.
Yep. It's fun.
All right, everybody. That's everything we got for you for this week. Keep snacking.